Open your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter number 12. We were not able to have class last week because we had the company I worked for had an all-company meeting on Wednesday morning, so I had to be there, and it turned out fine, no big deal, and everything, just talking about the company, things like that, so wasn't able to teach the class. So we're going to continue this morning looking at this series on salvation, specifically salvation from the tyranny of our emotions. We have spent a number of weeks, I've forgotten how many weeks, I don't know for sure how many weeks, on this specific topic, and I'm sure you can go to the website and probably listen to all the messages on there, and you'll be able to determine how many weeks we've done this so far. So I got to thinking about this, and you know, this is something, okay, so you've got over 10 lessons, all right. This topic is something really that you can think about and study and will really deal with the rest of your life, this side of glory. Because as long as you live in the bodies of this flesh and these bodies of clay, you're going to have battles with your emotions from all kinds of different sources, all kinds of different aspects, events, happenings in your life, that type of thing. So there is a real sense that, well, we could go on and on and on and on with this study, but as I thought about it, you know, we've dealt with all the highlight issues, the main passages of Scripture, and given the real important keys as far as how to gain victory over the tyranny of your emotions, and how to make sure that you're not being run by your tyrannical emotions, but rather you're operating under the influence and the power of the Scripture, you know, the Word of God in you, and therefore the emotions that you are experiencing are the fruit of the Spirit that Paul mentions over there in Galatians, okay? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, etc. So, in the ongoing battle, just in the bodies of this flesh, just remember that we are thoroughly, completely equipped not only with who God has made us to be in Christ, but also because we have His Word and we have the local assembly, we have the fellowship of the saints, that whatever those tyrannical emotions are that we struggle with or have, we don't have to be run by them. And we have a choice. And the choice is to walk by faith as to who God has made us to be in Christ. And we've seen all that. So, again, as I thought about this, I know we could go on weeks and weeks and weeks and talk about this, but we're not going to. My purpose today really is, and some of y'all are going to laugh at me, but my purpose today really is to wrap this series up today. All right, not because there's not more to say. There's always more to say. I can hear Ken laughing at me in the background, right? So, Dan, can you just kind of go smack him across the face there, tell him just to be quiet for a minute? Okay. Anyway, but My purpose is not to say that there isn't. There's Ken, his little smiley face. Don't y'all appreciate that little smiley face from Ken on the screen there? You notice he's got no hair on top, so that's Ken Curley, isn't it? But so I really do plan on wrapping this up today, not because there's not more that could be said. There's a whole lot more that could be said, but I don't know if it's necessary, because at some point, each and every one of us have to decide, you know what, I just am not going to be run by my tyrannical emotions anymore. That's just not the way I want to live my life. Instead, I'm going to be run by the power of the Word of God, by me believing what it says, resting in what it says, and then therefore experiencing not tyrannical emotions, but Spirit emotions, meaning the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and so forth, temperance. So let's therefore get going here. Go back to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter number 12. Let's just kind of real quickly pick up on some key things here. We've been looking at this verse the last two sessions, I believe. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So you see how it's service based on the ability to think, reason. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the thing we're going to emphasize again today. You have to allow the Word of God to transform your thinking, your life, and the way it does it It does it by renewing your mind, by changing your thinking process, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Verse 3 now, he says, "For I say through the grace given unto me," and that's the information given to him, that's the doctrine given to the Apostle Paul. He says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." And we emphasized in that verse, you see how the Apostle Paul uses the word think three different times. You have to think. Thinking requires a process where you take control of your emotions. You see, that verse demands that you're functioning based upon your mind, not your emotion. That in order to not to think of himself more highly than you ought to think, you have to engage your mind. You have to not think more highly. You don't want to think of yourself with pride and that type of thing. And it says, not think of himself more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly. You want to think about yourself like God thinks about you. That's what it means to think soberly. You want to see yourself as God sees you. And he says, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. The measure of faith is the Word of God. The measuring stick by which you measure your personal edification, your personal growth, your continuing growth, the measuring stick by which you measure your faith, you're believing God's Word, whether you believe it or not, how much of it you believe, what you believe, is God's written Word. And so God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. We all have the same measuring stick. It's the written Word of God. And so because we have the Word of God, it's an objective black and white standard. You can actually go in each and every day, you can measure where you are relative to what God thinks. You can measure your thinking compared to God's thinking. You can measure your response to the stimulus of life, good and bad, because both good and bad happen every day, right? So you can measure your thinking, your response, your faith to that circumstance based upon what the Word of God says. Okay, so this is all review. With the last two sessions, we went over this, but I want to keep this verse in mind. The whole thing about God has given to every man the measure of faith, the measuring stick by which you measure your thinking, your walk of faith, whether or not you're walking in faith, whether or not your thinking matches God's thinking, is the written Word of God. Okay? So you can see in the verses here, Paul brings up this issue of renewing the mind, renewing the mind. Therefore, so you can think like God thinks. And the way we find how God thinks is by His written Word. What I want you to do now, therefore, so we're going to take some of that with us, and we're going to now travel over to Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul once again gives us some information about this renewing of the mind process, specifically the putting off, the putting on. And you can see that there's a choice involved. You might remember early on in this series on the tyranny of our emotions, you have to decide, do you really want to be saved from the tyranny of your emotions? A lot of people who say they want to be saved from the tyranny of emotions, they don't really want to. They're just looking for attention. And it's a control thing for them. It's an influence. It's a power thing for them. Whether it's personal self-control, it's the way they can also get other people to do their bidding. So a lot of people don't really want to be saved from the tyranny of our emotions. So if that's you, well then maybe this series has not been so helpful for you. Because the bottom line is, if you really want to be saved from the tyranny of your emotions, you can be, but you just have to decide, do you really want to be? And if you really want to be saved from the tyranny of your emotions, you know how. There's nothing else that I can add to what we have said so far that is going to make a difference in terms of the truth of what God says as to how to be saved from the tyranny of your emotions. Me adding a few more verses today and then finishing the series today, it's not going to change anything that I've said. It's not going to change anything that the Word of God says. So you have to decide, yes, I do want to be saved, and I choose to walk by faith in what God's Word says about being saved from the tyranny of emotions so my emotions don't run me anymore. Okay? Now look at this passage over here in Ephesians chapter 4. Now watch what he says. I'm going to start at Ephesians 4:17. We're going to look at a lot of verses today. We can't look into a lot of detail, We don't need to. You go back in your own personal study time and do that. But start with me at verse 17. Watch what he says. He says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk." Now look at that next statement there, "in the vanity of their mind." The basic fundamental way that Gentiles walk, and in this context here he's talking about lost people. And by the way, you know he's talking about lost people because look at verse 18. He says, "having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God." That's not a saved person living in sin. That's a lost person. No saved person is alienated from the life of God. All right? That's a lost person right there. At any rate, you can see if you go back to verse 17, right at the end there, it says, the basic way that the Gentiles walk is in the vanity of their mind. Their mind is just empty, so it's just sucking everything in. So it is not. Since what's operating inside of them is vanity, verse 18, the understanding is dark and there's no light in there. Truly, people talk about the idea of airheads. Well, they're airheads in the sense of a vacuum, and it's sucking in all the lie program. Hence, what's inside is darkness. They do not have the life of God. And they're blinded in their hearts. Their past feeling, their conscience is seared and that type of thing. Okay, they've just given themselves over to work all uncleanness with greediness. They're just doing what the world's taught them to do. Okay, what I want you to notice here is this: that's not you. Once you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ for your Savior, and assuming you also spend some time in the Word learning about what that means, and learning about your new identity in Christ, well, you don't have a mind now that is just filled with nothing. You've got a mind now that at least has got a little bit of the Word of God in it, okay? Your understanding is no longer darkened. You've got the light of God's Word in you. You are no longer alienated from the life of God. You have the life of God because Christ is your life and you are in Christ. You are no longer ignorant. You have been intelligized. Isn't that a neat word? I heard Brother Jordan say that word years and years and years ago. Intelligized. You got information. You got truth now inside of you. And your heart is no longer blinded. Therefore, you don't have to give yourself over to lasciviousness, over to the choices and issues of the world. You can give yourself over to God. You can yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Now, jump back to verse 17, that little phrase there at the end of the verse, the vanity of their mind. So think about it this way. If you and I allow our tyrannical emotions to run us, and therefore you're functioning in life based on your emotions, the tyranny of your emotions. Remember I've said before, not all emotions are bad. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, those are all said to be the fruit of the Spirit. Those emotions aren't bad. But I'm talking about your tyrannical emotions, anxiety, fear, depression, condemning yourself, condemning others, living under that self-defeated concept. You're just living in the vanity of your mind. You're living in a realm of thinking that does not match God's realm of thinking about who He says He has made you to be in Christ. So He says, don't walk like that. Don't walk in the vanity of your mind. So what you have to do is the next time you catch yourself thinking those thoughts about yourself, say, wait a minute, is this how God thinks about me, or is this how I think about me? And you have to admit, it's not how God thinks about you, so therefore it's your flesh. It's a choice you're making. Okay, so Paul says, don't walk that way. Instead, look at verse 20, he says, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as... Watch this. Guess where the truth is? Did you notice? Guess where the truth... What's that verse say? That's right. The truth is in Jesus. The truth is not in the world out there. The truth is not in the vanity of your mind. The truth is not in your flesh. The truth is not in human viewpoint. The truth is not in the political system, the economic system. That's not where the truth is. The truth is in Jesus. And He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. God's word is called the word. Jesus is called the word. The truth is in Jesus. And so you've got to realize that not only are you in Jesus, you're in Christ, And because God's made you to be in Christ, therefore you want to learn about what that means. We've talked about this before. You got to know who you are in Christ, and you want to be strong in that and be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. So since the truth is in Jesus, then flee to Jesus. Can I say it that way? I mean, you're in Him already, but I'm just saying from a practical. Take your thinking to Jesus. That verse says the truth is in Jesus. It's interesting there when you think about it. I don't want to get off into too much detail about this because I have too many more verses to go over, and I really do want to wrap this up today. But isn't it interesting that he says there, as the truth is in... Notice he says the truth is in Jesus. He doesn't say the truth is in Christ. I mean, it is, but it's just interesting he uses the word Jesus there. He doesn't say the truth is in Jesus Christ. He doesn't say the truth is in the Lord. He doesn't say the truth is in Christ. He doesn't say the truth is in Christ Jesus. He doesn't say the truth is in God. Think about that. He says the truth is in Jesus. Jesus is the name of his humanity. Jesus is the name that was given to him in relationship to the fact that the Word became flesh. And the reason the Apostle Paul says, as the truth is in Jesus, is that when you go back and look at his life in the flesh, you and I have it recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And even though the Apostle Paul says we don't know him after the flesh anymore, the reason he says the truth is in Jesus, he says, look at how Jesus functioned. He functioned by 100% faith in the written Word of God. And he did so as Jesus. He did so as God in human flesh, the flesh of a man, sin apart, of course. All right, no sin. The truth is in Jesus. Just keep that in mind there. If you want to go back and you want to see the Lord Jesus trusting the Father, just go and read the Gospels and just get so intimately involved with the fact of how he's just trusting the Father. He says things like, I always do those things that please him. The Father has not left me alone. Think about those precious things he says to the Father. Anyway, just keep in mind the truth is in Jesus, so go to Jesus if you want to find the truth, right? He said, if you want to see it operational. Now watch what he says here. Verse 22, put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, there's the principle. That old man, put him off, because according to Romans 6 and Galatians 2:20, the old man's dead. He's been crucified with Christ. Get in the Word of God and let the Word of God renew your thinking, and then agree with the Word of God. That's how you put on. Agree with what God says. That's how you put on that new man. So when you find yourself condemning yourself, living self-defeated, self-deprecating, having those self-deprecating thoughts, living in anxiety, fear, depression, discouragement, go back to the cross, my friend. Go back to Calvary, my brother and sister in Christ. Go back to the cross. See what the Word of God says about who He's made you to be in Christ. Jesus went to the cross. Going to the cross, He trusted the Father. In trusting the Father, He pays the full, complete, total price for your sins. You were identified with Him in His death, His burial. So that old man's dead. But also in His resurrection. You're created. You're part of that new creature. You see that there? So put off that old man. Listen, I'll just tell you something. I'm not going to think like this anymore. I'm not going to let how the old man used to think, the vanity of the mind, I'm not going to let that guy run me anymore because he doesn't need to run me anymore. Instead, I'm going to get to the Word of God, see what the Word of God says, and then I'm going to make a choice. I'm going to agree with God. That's the renewing. So you go to the Word of God, it renews your thinking, but you have to make a choice to believe what the Word of God says. And then you say, okay, therefore, I'm going to put this on. I'm going to believe who God has said He has made me to be in Christ. So that's the put on part. Okay, so I'm making the connection there with Romans 12 about the renewing of the mind, renewing of the mind, renewing your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You and I, each and every day, have the opportunity for a transformation. Each and every day. In fact, each and every moment of each and every day, you and I have the opportunity to have a transforming experience in our life. Isn't that wonderful? You know? Now, I'm not trying to race through this, but I want you to, we're going to leave that passage, and let's go to the parallel passage over here now, this time in the book of Colossians. Go to the parallel passage over here in the book of Colossians, this time it's chapter 3. Look over to chapter number 3 here. Watch this. Look over to chapter number 3. I'm going to start then at verse... Well, oh my gosh, you wouldn't go wrong by starting at verse 1, but I'm going to actually back up a little bit. Go back to chapter 2, verse 20, he says, "Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ," and in the context, it's dead from the rudiments of the world, all those legalistic religious things, but you're still dead either way. You're dead to everything, okay, with Christ. So see how you have to agree with God, say, okay, Lord, you've made me dead to all this stuff. Now to chapter 3, verse 1. "If you then be risen with Christ." I got a question for you. And I'm going to ask you, go ahead and type something in, if you would. Do you believe Christ died for your sins on the cross about 2,000 years ago? A couple of y'all do, because typing in 3, 4, 5, yeah. There you go. Okay. So I got a question for you. I mean, why do you believe that? You believe it because the Word of God says so, right? Okay, yep. All right, now, so do you believe that you're dead with Christ? Go ahead and answer that one, too. Do you believe that you're dead with Christ? Okay, cool. Yeah, and again, why do you believe that? You believe that, you may not feel dead with Christ, but you are because the Word of God says so, so you believe it. Well, now watch chapter 3, verse 1. Now, this verse says, "If you then be risen with Christ." Here's the issue. Do you believe you're risen with Christ? See, it's what we like to rejoice in, and rightfully so, the fact that Christ died for our sins and we died with Him. But the cross also not only impacted the fact that Christ demonstrates the fact that He died for our sins, but now we walk in newness of life, newness of spirit, Christ resurrected. So do you believe that you are risen with Christ? Well, then if you are risen with Christ, then there must be a completely brand new source of power that you never had before you got saved, that is. And that new source of power is Christ resurrected, and you're in Him. He's in you. He says, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, on things on the earth." Meaning focus on that heavenly program, not the earthly program, right? "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory." See the guarantee there, the promise there? I'm reading quickly through these verses, not because they're not important. They're extremely important. It's just I've got, again, you guys know what I'm trying to do. We're trying to move on a little bit here. Go back and just think through those verses. Tell yourself, listen, you are in Christ resurrected, and Christ resurrected is in you. That's the realm in which you now live, Christ resurrected. Thank God you're at the cross, but thank God you're on resurrection ground as well. So then he says, in the light of that, in the light of that you're in Christ resurrected, in the light of this new resource and this new glory that you're guaranteed to be in, he says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." And he, of course, he lists a bunch of things: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. I'm jumping ahead, verse 6, "For which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience." And by the way, you're no longer considered to be the child of disobedience. Then he says, verse 7, "In the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them." He says, "But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another." Okay, now. Now let me stop now. Let me slow down. Let me slow way down now. Okay, so based upon you're in Christ resurrected, Christ is your life. You've got that eternal home in glory in the heavenly places. Christ is going to absolutely appear and take you there. So therefore, you'd have a new resource to mortify all these old things, put all those things off. Look at verse 8. He says, but now you also put off all these. Okay, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. I want you to think about that verse in relationship to this whole series about the tyranny of your emotions. When people talk about, because, you know, people will email me, they'll talk to me, hey, I'm John, I'm struggling with this, I've got this issue, I just, you know, and you know that, okay, this is nothing new. So I want you to think about the struggles of the emotions that you have. Maybe it's self-destructive thoughts. Maybe it's thoughts of condemning yourself, which those are self-destructive, okay? Thoughts of just anxiety, depression, fear, discouragement, where you're just beating yourself up, okay? You see that concept there? So look at that verse, verse 8. It says, but now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice. What is malice? What is malice? Doesn't malice carry with it the idea of intention to harm, intent to harm, intent to do evil? And then it says, put off, you know, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. We usually think about, you know, okay, quit cussing. And by the way, that's some good advice too, okay? But listen, next time that you find yourself condemning yourself, don't you realize that that's filthy communication out of your mouth toward you? Next time you find yourself beating yourself up, don't you realize that that is malice toward you? Next time you find yourself condemning yourself and just, you know, torturing yourself, that's evil communication from you to you. You know what? How about if you put that off? How about if you quit doing that? It's interesting how often we read verses like this and we say, oh Lord, help me quit, you know, talking bad about my brother or sister in Christ. Help me quit having these bad thoughts about my brother or sister in Christ. Help me quit, you know, help me stop this foul mouth towards my brother. Okay, that's all true and that's good. But how about next time you find yourself condemning you, you go to this verse. Look at verse 9 now. He says, lie not one to another. Well, then wouldn't that include quit lying to yourself? If you find yourself telling yourself that you're worthless, you're no good, you're a fake, none of this is real, you're just an imposter, would you just quit lying to yourself? Why are you lying to yourself? God, there's no verse of Scripture that says that once you've trusted Jesus Christ for your salvation, there's no verse of Scripture that says, no, you're just a fake. You didn't really trust me. There's no verse that says that. God says when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean, my gosh, how many wonderful things He says He has made you to be in Christ. Saved you. Sealed you. Blessed you. Circumcised you. Made you complete. Set you. Forgave you of all trespasses, past, present, and future. Made you part of His plan called glory. Set you in Jesus Christ resurrected, where Christ is your life. Which one of those statements matches and aligns with, you're just a fake. You're so worthless. You're just not worth anything. You're just a total goof-up. See, none of that matches, did it? Well, then who was saying those things to you? Well, you are saying those things to you. And in saying those things to you, you are telling yourself things that are not true as far as God's Word says. God says He's made you to be complete in Christ. God says He's made you accepted in the Beloved. So next time you find yourself beating yourself up, next time you find yourself being run by the tyranny of your emotions, you got to decide you're going to do what verse 9 says in verse 8. Put off that malice that you have towards you. Put off that filthy communication that you are directing at you. put off those lies that you're telling about you and start agreeing with what God says about you. We'll see that part here in just a minute. But the thing about lying not one to another, yes, let, you know, don't lie to your husband or your wife or your children or other members of the body of Christ. That's certainly true. But you know that also, but aren't you a member of the body of Christ? Aren't you one with us in Christ? Well, sure you are. So quit lying to you about you. Tell yourself things that are true about you. Not about your flesh. None of this is about your flesh, except the flesh wanting to run you. Tell yourself things that are true about you as to who God has made you to be in Christ. And we've talked about this. We went over lots of verses. I mean, how do we go through all of them again? You go make yourself a list of verses. And I'm saying, I mean that. Go get a stack of 3x5 cards, and if you want to write one verse per card, or three verses per card, get yourself a 3x5 card and write down the verses, some verses of who God says He has made you to be in Christ, and stick them on your mirror so in the morning when you wake up you see them. Put them on your steering wheel in your car, so when you hop in that car and someone makes you mad and you make them and you cut them off and then you condemn yourself when you quote that verse again. Put them on your refrigerator, put them on your front door, put them right in front of the TV and everything. Yeah, I mean, just tape them all over the house so you can train yourself to think about yourself like God thinks about you. Back to that. Yeah, tattoo them, he says. Right? That's pretty funny. Right across your forehead. So when you look in the mirror, you'll see it tattooed across your forehead there, you know. But that verse back in Romans, it says, not to think more highly, but to think soberly. See that? Think soberly. The way you think soberly about yourself is go and find those verses as to who God said He's made you to be in Christ. Write those verses down. And let those be how you think about yourself. So quit lying to yourself about who you are, because God says He thinks something different about you. Isn't that amazing? And yeah, and sometimes people will object and say, well, but wait a minute, when I go sin and I live in sin, then I'm a total jerk. Well, yeah, that's true. But you'll still not find a verse of Scripture where Paul says, oh, you're just a total jerk right now. He doesn't say that. And the way to get victory over when you live in sin is not to tell yourself, hey, I'm just a total jerk right now. It's to say, wait a minute. Yeah, in my flesh I'm a total jerk right now. This is not who I am in Christ. God said He's made me to be this in Christ. Therefore, I'm going to walk by faith in who I am in Christ. You got to get victory over that. You know, so it's interesting how when you show people how to be saved from the tyranny of our emotions, they keep saying, well, yeah, but and what about? What? What yeah but and what about statement of your flesh is going to trump the Word of God as to what He says, as to who He says He has made you to be in Christ? You tell me that. All the yeah buts and what abouts, they just don't work, man. And why would you keep appealing to the yeah buts and what abouts? Well, yeah but this. Well, yeah but that. Well, yeah but. Well, what about this? Why would you want to keep appealing to the yeah buts and the what abouts? It's because you are choosing to be controlled by your tyrannical emotions. You see that? So quit lying to yourself. He says, at verse 9, he says, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which was renewed in knowledge. There's that statement again. Renewed, 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 renewed. It's an ongoing lifelong process. After the image of Him that created Him, there's the new man. It's after Christ. The image of God is Christ. The image of Him that created Him, that's Christ there. He's renewed after Christ. He says in verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. See how it keeps going back to Christ, who He is. Okay, now watch verse 12. Watch this now. So you're going to put off lying to yourself. You're going to put off those condemning thoughts about yourself. That's that malice. You're going to put off those self-destructive thoughts. That's that evil communication that comes out of your mouth towards you. Instead, you're going to do this. You're going to be renewed in your mind because you're going to realize who you are in Christ. Then again, in verse 12, he says, put on therefore as, guess what? You're the elect of God. You're part of what God's doing. You're in the body of Christ. You're part of the one new man. You're part of what He's doing to glorify Jesus Christ in the heavenly places, world without end, amen, ages to come. Dispensation of fullness of time. You're part of the elect of God. That's who you are. And not only that, you're holy. You've been set apart by God for His purpose. You are part of the church, the body of Christ, so completely united with the person of Jesus Christ that when he talks about Christ, he can say Christ. And when he talks about Christ, he can talk about the body of Christ. You are one with Christ. Members of his flesh and of his bone. You are holy. That's who he says you, he has made you to be in Christ. And the next one, my gosh, he says, and beloved. Beloved. Look at that word. Be loved. You are loved. You are loved by the God of all the universe. You are loved to the same extent that the God of all the universe loves the Lord Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ loves the God of all the universe. You are loved with the same love that exists among the Godhead towards the Godhead. The same love that they have towards each other. That's how loved you are. It's a river that can never dry up. It's a well that the waters can never be tapped out of. It's an ocean that has no boundaries and no depths. It's amazing. That's how loved you are. And that verse says, be loved. So won't you just relax, chill out, sit down for just a minute, and just let God love you. Be loved. Just calm down right now. Just take a couple of breaths right now. Just let your heart rate slow down a little bit here. Just chill out here. And just let God love you. He's okay with it. He's not having a hard time loving you. You might have a hard time really resting in that love and knowing it's true, and you do, and the flesh does, all of us do. Because we think, how could it be so? How could God, the Godhead, the love that they have one towards another, how could they not only invite me into that love, but how could they pour that love upon me? And we think of it in terms of that because we tend to think I am so unworthy. It never has been about your worthiness. So why bring that issue up? He has made us accepted in the beloved. It's what He has done. Sometimes we just got to sit down and just say, okay, God, I throw in the towel. I give up fighting you. I'm just going to relax and rest and rejoice in the overwhelming sunshine brightness of thy love. You ever gone outside on a nice, beautiful, clear, sunny day? Now, those of you living in the Midwest under 6 feet of snow right now, you're going to have to imagine this in your mind because you can't do it right now. But it's beautiful weather out here in Southern California, so you actually could do this in Southern California. You just go back, get your chair or your lounge chair, just go sit in your backyard or wherever, and just sit in the sun. And you feel the warm rays of the sun coming down on you. And doesn't it just kind of relax you? You know, you can just, and you take in the energy from the sun. Like I said, those of you under snow right now, you're going to have to just think about this, okay? I'm just using it as an illustration. Just sit down and we have to make a choice to be loved by the God who loves us. And the proof of that love was the cross of Calvary. You want to be safe from the tear of your emotions. And I'm sure you do. You wouldn't be listening to this if you didn't. We've got, I mean, it's gone 10, 11, 12 weeks now. It's like You know? But I guarantee you, the way to be saved from the tyranny of emotions is just rejoice in, rest in, revel in, just let God love you. Realize it is so. And just put that on. Live in the wonder and amazement of His love toward you. That's pretty cool. That'll win your heart. And he says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Now here comes good emotions. Bowels of mercies. Those are good emotions. Kindness. Those are good emotions. Humbleness of mind. That's a good thinking process. Meekness. Long suffering. There's got to be inner power and strength to go through long suffering. Forbearing one another. And forgiving one another. Including you. If any man have a quarrel against any. Sometimes you have a quarrel against you. Now let's wrap this up. There's so much more that could be said. But go with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 6 here. Throughout the series, we keep talking about the tyranny of our emotions, meaning tyrannical emotions. But we have mentioned that there are good emotions, as we just mentioned right there. Here's a list. Pretty good one, too. He says, at verse 22, Galatians 5, I think I said 6, it's 5. Galatians 5:22, here's some good ones. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is, now here they come. There's 9 of them. He says, love. I'll bet you if we just allowed ourselves to be loved by God and to rejoice in that love, that a corresponding response would come out of us towards others, including towards ourselves. And that's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. Just think about these. Doesn't it just kind of calm your heart down right now as you just think about them? Long suffering. Gentleness. Be gentle with yourself. Goodness. Faith. Believe God's word. Meekness. Temperance. Against such there is no law. So there's no law that forbids those things. And the Ten Commandments can't produce those things. Living in the sunshine of God's love for you, resting in that, rejoicing in Christ, that will produce this fruit. And it's produced by the Spirit. You believe God's word. The word of God is written by the Spirit. So these are the kind of emotions that we want to have in our lives, manifested in our experience. And they come from the inside as we're renewed in the spirit of our mind. Okay, one other quick verse. I need to go quickly, if you would. 2 Corinthians 5. I'm going to go just a couple minutes over time here, but that's okay, right? No, 2 Corinthians 10. Look at this verse. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, 4, 5. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. See, those strongholds, those imaginations, those strongholds are strongholds in our mind. They're fortresses in our mind. They're like castles in our mind, castles of wrong thinking. They're strongholds of wrong thinking. He says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. Now here's the phrase you got to see. To the obedience of Christ. What is the obedience of Christ? What is that? What is that? That's not you obeying Christ. That's His obedience. What is it, though? Where do you see it? Doesn't Philippians 2 tell us He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross? That's His cross work. The obedience of Christ in that verse is a reference to the cross work of Christ. That verse is not telling you and I need to bring ourselves into obedience to Christ. That verse isn't saying, would you start obeying? That verse isn't saying that. That verse is, whatever thoughts that we have, let's bring them to captivity. Let's take them to the cross and see and look at Christ's victory on the cross. Because the victory is not in my ability, in your ability. The victory has already been won for us at the cross. Bringing into captivity every thought, not to my obedience, and not to my obedience to Christ, but to the obedience of Christ. That's His cross work. Take that thought to the cross and see what the cross says about that thought. And then choose to believe God. All right, well, we're going to wrap this up for today and this series. This is the final lesson in the series. Let's just see if we have any additional thoughts or questions or comments. If so, just click on the raise hand icon there. We'll give you the mic. And then do remember, the plan is to be on for our next live session this evening at 7 p.m. Hope you can join us there. Here you go, Scott.
Thank you, John. That's an excellent study, and thank you for going through the series. That was very good. One thought that came to my mind early on in the lesson today was when you're going through about thinking, I was thinking about a combat situation where, you know, in a combat situation, there has to be thought. There has to, because even when it's chaotic around and bombs are exploding and you're getting shot at or whatever, we can't let our emotions run wild. We got to think of an objective. You know, it's definitely we got to think. There's no doubt about it. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. We don't want to let our emotions get the upper hand, the bad ones. It's good to have the good emotions, no doubt about it. But thank you so much, John. I appreciate it, man.
Hey, Scott, thank you for that. And, boy, that also, as always, your illustrations are just excellent. You bet, man. When you're in combat and those bombs are bursting and the bullets are flying, you got to absolutely take control of your emotions, because fear can just paralyze you and terrorize you, and it does, but you have to just work through that. And so that's a very good illustration. So thanks for sharing that. All right, well, let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we're grateful that we could take some time again to look into your word and to kind of wrap this series up. Not that there isn't more to be said. These battles we'll face as long as you walk in the flesh, but as you've told us in your word, that you've equipped us with weapons of warfare that are exceeding beyond in their capacity to enable us to walk by faith and through in our mind and to just live in your love. And so we thank you for that, Father. We do pray that each and every one of us that has gone through this series and that will continue to listen to this in the future, that we really would learn to just rest in your love towards us and let that love have its transforming impact in our hearts and in our minds. And we'll thank you for that in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Well, folks, thank you so much for joining us. I hope you can join us tonight. Have a great rest of your day. Bye-bye now.